Good morning, Atlanta, and welcome home. You're listening to Atlanta Home Radio, and this is your host, Stone Payton. And joining me in the studio this morning is my co-host and good buddy, Alan Dobrinsky. What's happening, Alan?
Hey, Stone. Just usual stuff, I guess.
So did you sell anything this week? For those of you that don't know out there in the listening audience, Alan is a realtor broker. I don't think he works all that hard, but I think he makes a ton of money helping people find houses, don't you?
Wish I could say so, but yeah, I'm working hard and almost sold something. Working on it.
So what's new and different in the realty market right now? Is anything particularly going on in the Atlanta market that's different that's happening, nationwide?
Well, prices are going up in some places. It's not bad. They're fluctuating a bit, but I think the market is, I'm optimistic. You know, I think it's going to be better. This spring should be a good spring.
You're a glass half full kind of realtor, huh?
That's right.
All right. Well, we have a great show this morning. I've been looking forward to a lot. This is our, what do you call it, inaugural episode.
Yes,
for those that don't know. And I've been looking forward to doing this show for some time. First up on Atlanta Home Radio this morning is a gentleman that runs Assure Exteriors. His name is Brian Kramer. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Good morning, Stone.
So what do you guys do out there at Assure Exteriors? What are you doing to help folks?
Well, we're a roofing contracting firm, and basically, I like to say, bigger isn't better. Better is better. And we really focus on quality and superior customer service. We want the customer to have a great experience working with us.
And so do you work directly with the homeowner in your roofing business, or do you work through other contractors, or a little bit of both? How does that piece work?
Well, the way it works, we're a small company, and every job is supervised directly by the owner of the firm, which is me. I spend a lot of time up on the roofs and just, frankly, having a great time doing it. I love being up there. But, yeah, I work specifically with each client to understand their needs, their concerns, and then make sure that everything goes exactly as promised.
Well, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I'm operating under the premise that there's a roofing company on every corner. What, if anything, makes Assure different in your mind?
Well, one primary thing that makes us different is that we're still on the corner.
I like that. Did you get that recorded over there, Alan?
I sure did.
All right. We should save that, like, cut it out. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay, because many roofing firms have left town now because a lot of the storm damage has been taken care of, and we're really here for the duration. It's just something we enjoy doing.
So what's your favorite part about this business, and how did you get into it in the first place? You haven't always been a roofer, have you?
No, I have not. It's an interesting... Oh, I think it's kind of interesting anyway. I basically grew up in home construction, and rooftops were my playground, much to my mother's dismay. my brother and I would climb on the roofs and jump off into piles of dirt and build forts up in the attics of these homes, and we moved quite a bit. My parents played the real estate game, and so we had lots of time to play in roofs and rappel out the windows and all those things that you'd get in trouble for today. But then I got an industrial engineering degree and spent 30 years at IBM. The last several years as a quality manager. So I bring Six Sigma quality disciplines to roofing. And then as life evolved, after 30 years with IBM, I opened up another business, which is still operating up in Alpharetta, called Rome, which is a business cafe and meeting center.
Oh, I love that place. We know that place. That place rocks. Alan, you've been out there, haven't you?
I have.
I love Rome.
It's
very sexy. It's got the conference rooms, and you get the espresso, and you got beer and wine out there, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Man, so you're a real entrepreneur.
Well, it's been quite a journey, a fun journey. But then a friend of mine said, Brian, have you ever thought about applying your white-collar skills to the trades? And I grew up in the trades. My industrial engineering background is in printing. So I'm very comfortable with the trades, and I got very interested in it, and it has been by far and away the most fun job I think I've ever had.
There's got to be a reality show in this, like the IBM roofer or something. We got to put some thought into that.
I used to be an electrical engineer.
Oh, my goodness. See, I've never had a real job, so I have no frame of reference for that. That's cool. So how do you know, how does someone like me, with absolutely zero knowledge about building or building materials or homes or roofs, how do you know that you maybe ought to be looking at repairing or even replacing a roof?
Well, for one, if you're thinking about selling your home and your roof is more than 10 or 15 years old, you're going to have to put a new roof on that house in order to make the sale. That's just become the one thing that home inspectors look for, is the condition of that roof. Obviously, if you have any leaks, that's a clear sign.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah. But you know, really, you should have a roofer inspect your home, your roof every so often. I was on someone's house just the other day, and I thought I was going to fall through the roof in a couple spots just because they had a leak that they didn't know about. It rotted the wood underneath the shingles. From the ground, you could not see that the decking was rotted, but when you stepped on it, you could definitely feel your feet sink. It's also quite common if your roof is at least 10 or 12 years old that the seals around your pipes that come out of the roof are cracked and open. So you may not see the leak yet, but water is definitely going into your attic, which leads to mold.
Is that called a boot?
Yes, it is called a boot.
Well, you got a leaky boot over there, Alan?
No, but I've had other clients with them.
Well, now you walk in. I got to ask you this, Alan. So you're shopping for homes. You do a lot of the buyer agent side of stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is roof one of the first things that you look at or they look at or the inspector dude looks? I mean, it's an important piece, right?
Always. We assume that it needs a new roof.
Just right out of the box?
Oh, yeah, of course, especially for negotiation.
Man, you just met your meal ticket, Brian. This guy, he sees bad roofs every day.
I've just seen it several times. People, all of a sudden, they need to sell their house, and bang, the roof is an issue.
Wow. And so even if the roof is not leaking and maybe it's only 6, 8 years old, maybe there's some wisdom in having a guy come out like you and just take a look at everything and make sure these boots are like they ought to be, that kind of thing, yeah?
Well, absolutely, because the home inspector is going to. So do you want to wait till the home inspector comes up and says, here's the problem that you have with the roof, or would you rather know ahead of time?
Right. So talk to me a little bit about the marketing side of this thing. So are you greasing the palms of home inspectors all over town or real estate guys? Or how do you go to market?
Well, my partner did a lot of door-to-door selling at first, and that was very good at getting the pump primed for the business. Now, out of the last all the homes we've done over the last 2 months, over half are from referrals, which is pretty exciting. And our website is bringing people in, www.assureexteriors.com.
Wow, do you see how well he just like zoom me? Were you there?
Right into it.
So you're the marketing guy, I can tell.
I'm the marketing guy right now, and just you know, having a lot of fun. I talk to people who do storm restoration. You know, so it's not just is there something wrong with the roof? Were you flooded? Things of that nature. And they need people that they can count on. And home flippers, people who flip homes, are proving to be a good contact because, again, these homes need new roofs. And what they're looking for is someone who delivers exactly as they say they will. And that's a passion of mine.
Well, now that would be a fun show. We got to get is that what you call them, a home flipper? Is that Alan, we got to get some home flippers on the show, man.
I think that's good. I know a few.
You know some home flippers?
Oh, yeah.
That'll be cool. All right. So back to someone like me, I think we're building this profile, this guy that doesn't have a clue, right? And I'm operating on the impression there are other people like me that really don't know too much about roofing. I have someone come out and look. Okay, yeah, you got to have a roof. Now, what criteria do I use to determine, do I go with this, you know, company A or company B? What things should I have in mind? What kind of questions should I be asking myself when I'm trying to determine who to go with?
Well, you'd want to understand what ventilation requirements your roof has and how well they answer those questions for you. Many people have power vents on their roofs to help keep the air flowing in their attics, and those power vents only last 4 to 5 years. So oftentimes they're not working, and then your roof is wearing out. It's prematurely aging because the heat is not escaping from the attic properly. So how well do they answer those questions? How knowledgeable are they when you ask them those questions? But I also think that it's critical. You know, how well do you get along with that person? Do you feel that you're going to be able to resolve any questions or any issues that come up with the person that you're working with? You know, and how responsive are they? You know, one of my clients recently, she was continually amazed that I was either there within a couple hours or the next day to get anything addressed or any question answered.
Well, and that is so key. I guess maybe you guys have experienced this as well, but to me, I get the perception that a lot of people in the trades, maybe they're so busy, maybe they don't have marketing on their mind, but my experience has been a lot of them are not terribly responsive. They get to you when they get to you. I mean, am I misreading that, or is that the way the industry is largely?
Well, I can't comment exactly on how everyone else performs, but one of the reasons I decided to get into roofing was the roofing industry tended to have a bad reputation, and I thought I can do better than that. So it was kind of an exciting challenge for me to say what, because it's not just how well do we slap the shingles up on the roof, how well do we install the pipe jacks and things of that nature, or the boots.
Right.
It's the whole service experience, and how well are we working with them with their insurance company? Is everything exactly as we say it's going to be? Does everything come in the exact day we say it's going to be? So I really focus on, I've already defined very crisply for the crew the precise quality measurements I'm looking for, so they know. You know, there's no questions, there's no surprises on the job site. And I focus on the entire service experience for the customer. So everything is delivered exactly as I promise.
So talk to us a little bit about the different kinds of choices available to a consumer with regard to a roof. I know my wife was really enamored with the architectural
shingles.
It's kind of like the overlapping doohickey. Mm-hmm. So she liked the way that that looked. I don't know if it's any better actually functionally or not, but she liked the way that it looked. What are some other choices that a consumer has with regard to roofs?
Well, there's the how long the life of a shingle. Do you buy a 25-year shingle, 30-year shingle, 50-year shingle?
Right. Like I bought a 15-year driver's license because I didn't want to go back down there again. Same deal with the roof, right? No kidding. I paid an extra $10. I don't have to go back for like 15 years. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's good. But those are the primary differences is the length. Now, typically what we do is look at the neighbor's homes and see what they've been putting on their roofs. And then that helps the homeowner decide how much they're going to spend. Another exciting development in roofing is metal roofs. You've seen many metal roofs out in the countryside, you know.
Yeah, and on the beach, too.
On the beach.
Yeah.
But now, if you go to some of these multi-million-dollar homes that are being built, you think, you really think that architectural shingles are up there. But in fact, it's just a sheet of metal that is painted so well that I had to get my partner within about 15 feet of the roof before he could see that it was metal and not asphalt shingle.
Is that noisy when it rains?
Not a bit. No, it really isn't.
It doesn't go ting, ting.
It's a lifetime roof. Much more expensive, but it's a green option too.
And the hail. I mean, if hail hits it, does it dent?
You'd think it would, but it doesn't. It really, wow. It's very
solid. I haven't
solid.
Seen that yet. I have not seen that in this area very much.
I would say that you have seen it. You just didn't
know. You just
know
don't
it.
Know it.
Like I said, I had to get my friends and my partner within like 15 feet of the roof and look at it at the right angle before they could see that it was really just metal.
Well, and I like that idea. Look at what your neighbors have. So, yeah, okay, so she's got the Corvette, but I got the cool metal roof, right?
Well, it's more along the line of not investing too much money in your home.
Okay,
yeah. So it's consistent with, there are instances where you could put $30,000 of improvements in your home and only see $5,000 of the benefit because you're so far out of line with the neighbors and comparable resale, comparable values, home values. So most of the time we put architectural on because that's what all the neighbors have. But in other neighborhoods, small rental homes, things of that nature, they say, the three-tab shingles, the ones that you grew up seeing, are just fine. And 25 years is longer than what most people live in their homes anyway. So it works. From there, it comes down to color.
Do you do ceramic roofs?
I do not.
No ceramic. Yeah, that's ceramic. Like mostly in Florida, I guess, or in the South.
It's not a big demand here. We're also looking to expand into solar. We've got some pretty interesting opportunities in front of us with solar power. That's why we're called Assure Exteriors, and roofing is not in the name. Because we look to provide those other services as well, and it's pretty exciting.
Giving yourself some options, huh?
Well, it's just the reality with solar is if someone's interested in solar, they want a roofer to put it up there because they don't want people falling off their roofs, and also they don't want the warranty on their roofs to be invalidated because someone else is putting holes in the roof.
Yeah. Haven't they actually come out with a solar shingle where you can tie all the shingles together and your whole roof is one big solar panel?
They have, but that really has not taken off yet.
What an awesome idea. Can you imagine if your roof is powering all of your house?
Well, it hasn't taken off yet, but now we're mentioning it on Atlanta Home Radio. I think your marketing troubles are over. I think it's a done deal, right?
That is such an awesome idea.
And now you're going to be the realtor broker out there talking about this whole solar stuff and the metal stuff and all that?
Of course.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, I think.
So what's next for you guys beyond solar? What do you see changing in the whole roofing realty market coming down the pike? Anything in particular?
Well, to me, I think one thing I like about roofing is that it's a good, honest product and service. Yeah, and at the end of the day, when you're done looking at what you've done, you can see a home that looks profoundly nicer than when you got there.
Yeah.
And the property is... we spend a lot of time cleaning up the property so it's as nice or nicer than when we got there in the morning. And I think there's just a steady demand for that over time. People's roofs get old. People need to put a new roof on in order to sell the house. So I'm just happy to have that as a core business. And then as we look to other ways to help the homeowner increase the value of their home, through, for example, through solar, is one thing we're looking at. We also do light carpentry repair, replacing fascia board, putting up new gutters. Sometimes siding needs to be repaired, repairing soffits, doing minor paint touch-up on the top of chimneys and things of that nature, because many people just don't want to get on their roofs. Although I will say, for the sake of a humorous point, I recently did a roof, and the woman that owned the home, before I knew it, I was up on the roof, and she was standing there right next to me. And I thought, whoa. I was not expecting that.
There's a whole segment of the population that are like me. I've got two tools at my house, telephone and a checkbook. I mean, that's it, right? And there's a lot of us like that, right? Sure. Absolutely. So how can our listeners get in touch with you, learn more about your business, and have you guys come out and give them a realistic, honest evaluation of their exterior needs?
I can be reached at 678-460-6410. You can also find me on my website, www.assureexteriors, that's A-S-S-U-R-E, exteriors.com. And my email is bkramer@assureexteriors.com.
And a website enhanced by video, I might add.
By a courtesy of this wonderful, intelligent man, Stone Payton, who showed me how to take my YouTube video and put it on my website.
Hey, man, we're all over the whole YouTube thing. Isn't that great?
I mean, it was awesome how that worked.
Well, it's just YouTube and the little flip cameras and all that. I mean, it's leveled the playing field for everybody.
I think, the cheesier the video, almost the better.
The better, right?
Because it seems like this is real. There's just people doing it, and I think people have grown to like that, and the homeowners enjoy it. When you go to my website, it's not just a list of call this person, this person, this person. You'll see photos of the people in front of their homes. We have fun. We really have fun together. And the other thing I do, as I mentioned, I've got quite a broad background, and I have well over 4 million people in my LinkedIn network.
Good Lord.
Wow.
4 million people.
And, people, I meet a lot of people who, in this new day and age, you have to network. You just have to constantly be networking, not only for your business, but for yourself. And you never know, who someone else knows. They're rather surprised when they talk to me. They say, I'm getting on a flight tomorrow to Tokyo. Really, where are you working? I used to work over there. Right. What are you talking about? But, for a while, I was two connections away from the governor of the state. I've worked with dignitaries around the globe. There's a lot of people that I can put people in touch with. And so when we have that kind of conversation, it's interesting and exciting because they need to meet people. Maybe they have entrepreneurial aspirations. I can connect them up at Rome. There's a lot of entrepreneurs I know at Rome who have been building businesses. And it's just, if you're not networking, if you're not focused on LinkedIn, you need to be. And that's one thing that I help people do is expand their networks and, for their future.
Man, this guy's a wealth of information. You got to come back and talk to us more about that stuff. Hey, listen, before we let you go, I wonder if you'll do something for us. We like to share a homeowner tip related to your particular area of expertise on every episode. Can you just give us a good, crisp homeowner tip for the other folks like Stone out there that may not know too much?
Well, we've already mentioned it, and it's quite simple. Just have someone inspect your roof. If you haven't had someone inspect your roof, you need to know, are animals starting to eat in through the chimney? Are the pipe boots cracking around your vent pipes? Because that's a source of leaks. Is your power vent destroyed? Sometimes those things have been hit by branches, and they're in pieces on people's roofs. And unless they're out there looking at them, I mean, some people can't even see them. Because of the way their roofs are shaped and their property.
I had a squirrel in mine.
Yeah, so
they were living there.
Well, I'm 5 foot nothing. I can't see anything up that high.
Well, not only that, oftentimes, when I'm up on a rooftop, and I know the gentlemen that are up next can attest to this as well, you can look down on the gutter and see that the fascia board is completely rotted. And you can't typically see that from the ground. And if your fascia board is completely rotted, then your gutters are going to fall off. You're going to have mold and mildew. You're going to have a space for animals to run into.
The whole opera falls apart, doesn't it?
A lot of things can happen there, and it's very easy for a roofer to get up there, take photographs for you, and give you just a quick check of the status of that roof and how much repairs would cost or how much a new replacement would be.
Excellent advice. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Can you hang out with us for a little while we visit with our next guest?
I'd love to.
Terrific. Well, next up on Atlanta Home Radio, I am delighted to introduce a gentleman by the name of Dennis Farrell, and he's brought his partner with him. They're with an outfit called GACC Window Cleaning Services. I get the idea that they actually do windows. Welcome to the show, Dennis and Blake.
How y'all doing this morning?
Thank you, Stone, Alan.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Give us a little bit of an overview, if you would. What are you guys out there doing for folks?
Well, we're doing window cleaning and pressure washing, minor gutter cleaning and things of that nature. But, you know, we started the business in 2002. We've been in it since 1998 doing window cleaning. And we branched off doing pressure washing and gutter cleaning. And here we are.
So residential, commercial, both?
Yeah, well, there's three components to it. It's post-construction and then residential and commercial. Post-construction meaning, you know, houses that are just getting put up and paint all over the windows.
Oh, yeah, windows look like hell after a home's put up, right?
Yeah, it looks like almost a speckled white dust on there. And it's very time-consuming, but we do offer, you know, the post-construction scraping and stuff, things that the painters will not want to attack after they're done.
Right, and roofers are too lazy to do, right?
Well, they're up top. They're up top on that one.
So how'd you get into this business? You woke up one day and said, you know, I think I'll get in the window business.
Well, no, we have a buddy that actually, his dad owns a high-rise service company.
Ah, now there's an inroad.
Exactly.
Up on a scaffold, you know,
no,
floor.
No, it's rappelling, actually.
It's basically you got a platform and a carabiner and a lifeline as your rope.
Wow.
Exactly. And there's not much room for error, if you will, so that's kind of, we wanted to get out of that business and...
Okay, so you started there. You did a little bit of that, but then you said, this is not for me long term.
Exactly, yeah.
Hanging from the building?
Yes.
Mostly groundwork from about 2 to 3 stories up is what we would do starting out.
Right.
Off the bat, I mean, you got to have a lot of, I'm sorry to say this, but cojones to, you know, rappel off of a, you know, 100, 200 foot building.
Wow.
Exactly.
Are there any girls in that business?
No.
I hope not.
No.
Because God bless them, you know.
But, you know, from there, we decided to kind of branch off from there because we found that there is a lot of money in the business and, you know, window cleaning and pressure washing. But what we did is we branched off, you know, by starting making flyers, just putting them in mailboxes and things like that. And from there, we just started doing little marketing, East Cobber, things like that, little rags around town,
right,
and things like that. And
it's more than good. I mean, this is not just two guys with a bottle of Windex. I mean, you got to know what you're doing to do this, right?
Absolutely. It's a secret. We can't really give the solution away that
Blake's
we actually
in charge of intellectual property.
We can't give the solution away that we actually use inside of our spray bottles,
right?
You know, I'm sure a lot of the bigger window cleaning services, they know the solution, but we can't really give that secret away, what we actually use.
Not
but,
just ammonia and water?
No, it goes deeper into that. You know, the biggest thing is no Windex. Windex, you know, everybody, you know, thinks it's streak-free, and, you know, a lot of people attack their windows, and they run into it, and they say, wow, I have a lot of windows in my house, you know? And that's where we come in. And, you know, nobody wants to do the inside and the out. And of course,
I hate doing the windows.
And, of course, not everybody's, you know, got 30, 40-foot ladders available on site. You know, those things can get expensive, too. I mean, they're $400 a piece, sometimes more than that. But, you know, that's where we come in, and we help the customer out on that.
Well, there goes our Windex sponsorship. Oh, well.
No Windex here.
So how does it work? You get onto a job site. What's the process? How do you get to know these contractors and stuff? Walk us through the business side of this, if you would.
Well, marketing is, you know, sometimes knocking on doors to, you know, just people who you know. You know, we know some people that are contractors who help us out. And
so it's as much about marketing as it is about doing. You got to do good work so that you get to work. But marketing is a big piece of your business.
Oh,
you
got
to get out there, right?
Yes, very big, very big. But you know, you get out there and you know, you charge anywhere from $4 to $10 a window. You know, it just depends. But you know,
and so will you come out to a neighborhood like mine and just do a regular old house like mine?
Yes.
Absolutely.
You would just, you know, call for a free estimate. We'd walk around, you know, count your windows and, you know, see which ones. You know, sometimes not everybody wants all their windows clean.
Right.
You know, some just want the ones they can't reach. You know, some people just want the outside of them. You know, it's just a, whatever the homeowner wants.
Now, how often, like at our house, and I mean, I've got, I don't know what, maybe a $300,000-$400,000 house. When I put another $200,000 in, it'd be a really nice place, right? You know, I mean, my deck is condemned. I need new windows. But the family comes to our house for Christmas every year. We're the Christmas house. We are kind of set up to entertain nice. We're active in our church. We have church people over a lot. How often should we have someone like you, professional crew, come in and clean our windows?
You know, it's I'd say it's almost like seasonal, maybe four times a year, you know, maybe twice a year. It just depends on you. You know, everybody likes to get their windows cleaned in the spring for spring cleaning. That's huge for us.
Right.
You know, spring cleaning has always been, you know, our biggest couple months right there. But, you know, just the holidays is big too. But I would tell you at least twice a year to have your windows cleaned.
At least twice a year. I mean, it seems pretty reasonable. So you're saying maybe at the high end, $10 a window?
Yes, at the very high end. That's scraping and everything included. You know, that's a really post-construction.
That's really getting it. Okay. All right. So maybe even less on Winrose Lane where I am, right?
Exactly. Residential homes, you know, that's 4 to 7. You know, and we're talking the 7 being a big bay window, half moon bay, you know, palladium window.
So how many windows does a regular house have? Help us out here, Alan.
About 30 or 40.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that many. So somebody do the math around here. 7 times 30, $210?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a no-brainer. Twice a year, $210?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So that's 420 a year.
And I'm out there in short pants. And, you know, I mean, it's an America's funniest video just waiting to happen with me one leg on the ladder and stretching out.
If you're selling a house, you want to have your windows done because it'll make the front, especially in the front.
Right.
I mean, it'll make everything look so much better. Take off the screens and clean the windows.
Right. So when you're listing homes.
Oh, yeah. I tell them, take off the screens, clean homes.
Right.
But I mean, clean the windows.
But you need people like this to know and get them out there and clean up the windows, right?
Yeah.
And then if you're helping people shop, that's one of the first things you tell them to mention, right? The windows?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Geez, for one for these dirty windows.
And that's also a big thing, you know, too, is also on the seals as well. You know, a lot of people have screens on their homes, and the seals, you know, they have bugs and all kinds of stuff like that. You know, we clear all that out and make sure, you know, everything is completely clean right there, too, as well. You know, and especially on those high, you know, windows, you know. You don't want to have your husband or your wife poking their head out there and trying to take off screens and dropping them. That's where we come in as well. You know, we get up there on a 30-foot ladder. We can take the screen off. We usually sometimes light pressure washer it, make it look really nice, and then we wipe every seal down after we're done cleaning that window as well.
Now, do you have a brother-in-law in the window replacement or window painting business or somebody you guys are tight with, or do you take on some of that work as well?
We usually subcontract that out with our networks and stuff like that. We do have people that do flip homes, and they handle the restorations for that and remodeling and replacement of French doors. And we do, you know, give quite a bit of business out to our networking.
Right.
We usually sub that out. But as far as replacing windows, yeah, we don't really get into that too much.
But that's what's going to happen. When you come out and clean my windows, you're going to clean them. It's going to look a lot really nice. And $210, that's a slam dunk. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And then you're going to say, Stone, sit down a minute. We need to talk, buddy.
Yeah.
you need some new windows. You need to paint these windows. You can get away with painting this and replacing those. But you've got people that you know and you trust, you can count on, that you can recommend to come out and do that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. It's basically everybody that we went to high school with or grew up with that, you know, have branched off and doing stuff like that we're doing right now. So
right.
It's all a tight-knit group, and, you know, we get stuff done. You know, we're all young and we're all hungry, so we get a lot of stuff done. So it's good.
So how big is this outfit? Have you got like 10 crews running all over town, or, you know, you got to leave the studio here in a minute and put some shorts on and go wash some windows? Or
we've got three. Blake and myself, we run a crew, and we have actually somebody out there right now, Neil. He runs a crew as well. But, you know, we started off with just Blake and I just getting out there, you know, like you said, put some shorts on and going to work. But
right.
Then we decided that we were starting to get probably 2 to 3 calls maybe a day. And then, you know, you're closing maybe 50% of that. So then you got to get somebody else out there. So we decided to, you know, hire some people on that we actually knew. And that's where we're at right now.
Now, you guys were friends before you got into business together?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And you're still friends?
We've been friends.
Congratulations. Probably, I mean, that's something right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's, God, we've known each other almost 20 years now. So, you know, we've known each other since we were about 7 years old.
You don't
old.
Look old enough to know each other for 20 years.
We're both 28 years old, you know. We've known each other since we were 7, so.
That is really cool. But where I'm headed with this, is if we kind of back off the whole window thing for a minute, you know, I know a lot of our listeners are either entrepreneurs or striving entrepreneurs, and would love to just dive into a little bit about your perspective on starting and maintaining a successful enterprise. Give us a little insight into that, if you would. What do you think the secret is to? Because it's obviously working for you guys.
Well, first, did you have a business plan?
Yes, my father actually is the one that made a business plan for us, and he actually helped fund it a little bit, if you will. But
father funding, I like it.
Yeah, exactly.
you listening, Dad?
Yeah. But, I mean, I would tell, you know, just it's always good to have somebody you trust with you. I mean, you know, if you're branching off into something to start your own company, you always want somebody that you can trust. And, I can 100% trust my father as well as Blake over here. But you just got to work hard. Just don't give up. You know, just, you know, there's never a dull day. Just get out there. If you don't have anything going on, you fly or you just, you know, like Brian was saying before us, you know, just networking is huge. Just make sure that you've always got something going on, you know.
What is the best way to network? For now, we met at the East Copper Parade.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. I mean, this was, for our listeners that don't know, this was the parking lot out around Old Town Athletic Club, and there are several businesses there, great big parking lot. There was live music and dancing girls. I was there because I was peddling water bottles out of our church booth. So there were churches there. There were food. There were all kinds of small businesses there. How did that work for you guys? Was that a productive networking opportunity for you?
Yes, it's always, we've done that for the past 3 years. It's a great tool. We for the money as well. It's very cheap, and you just get out there and just let everybody know what you do. It's good exposure.
And they come to you, right? You're sitting in the shade, and what, you're giving out frisbees or water bottles or whatever?
Some squeegees and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
yeah,
water.
Right.
And then, but, you know, you get out there, too, and pass out some cards and meet some people. And, you know, everybody needs it done, you know, whether they want to do it themselves or not, they're going to get it done. So, but, yeah, just getting out there and shaking some hands. And
so do y'all divvy it up? I mean, like, so you'll go to these handful of networking things, Blake, and then you'll turn around, Dennis, and you'll go to this handful, and then what do y'all come back and say, okay, here's who I met, here's what we, I mean, is that how it works?
It's basically like that. And we do, you know, we keep in contact with a lot of builders and stuff like that that we've done work for in the past, especially on construction and new construction and stuff like that. So we're constantly keeping in touch with them, seeing if they got new things going, because the housing market right now is very bad, especially for builders. But we do hold on to their numbers, and we do network with them quite a bit, because we're really excited about, we're trying to branch off into a gutter cleaning service as well.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. And before I took this on 100%, I was actually in the gutter business for about 5 years. And we're really excited about that, but we're trying to really concentrate on keeping in contact with all of our builders and construction sites and stuff like that. Small construction, usually a 2-3-story building is what we'll do. But we're trying to concentrate on that and get a lot of business out of that. And then we're going to eventually branch off into a gutter side of the business, doing 2-3, year annually cleanings. And while we're up there, you know, we're not going to be the big shots like Brian here and replace your whole roof. But, if there's some cracked shingles, we're going to let them know about it. And, if there's some boots that need replacing, we're going to do some minor stuff like that. But really, we want to concentrate on cleaning the gutters out, and we're really excited about that. I know I am, because I've been in that business a long time, so I know it very well. So we're excited about that as well.
All right. So that'll be fun stuff.
Yes, we'll see.
When we had our roof replaced, I thought the company did a great job. And I think it was before I knew that Brian and his crowd were in the roofing business. It was a different outfit. But they referred us to another outfit, and we got the Jim Jammy gutters that you don't reach in and pull the leaves out of.
Were they leaf guard?
Yes, leaf guard.
I got those too.
You got those? And, I don't really know what I'm looking at, but we're pleased so far with the way those look.
Right. Have you ever took a peek inside those and see what's going on?
No, is it not as good as we hope?
No.
Jeez, we just lost the Windex sponsorship. Now we lost the Leaf Guard sponsorship.
Mine actually overflowed.
Sorry, Leaf Guard.
my Leaf Guard gutters, they get overwhelmed.
Okay.
It doesn't take much for the rain.
So it's not the silver bullet that we thought it was.
Overwhelm them, and then it comes down like a waterfall.
I've seen that a lot.
And that's the biggest thing, you know, in a lot of valleys on roofs in those systems, you know, you get a lot of pile up on the roofs, and then eventually, you know, if you don't attack that and get somebody out to maintenance that and clear that off, you know, you start getting the soft spots in the roof.
Right.
So our roofing guy just leaned back up to his microphone. I think did you have something to say about the whole gutter thing?
They're absolutely right. You know, the other thing I see quite often, you know, myself, I'm personally very focused on keeping trees away from the top of my house.
Right.
Because of all the tree debris that lands on it, builds up, and then can eventually, like for example, many people have it build up at their chimney or in the valleys,
right,
up against the house, and then the siding starts to rot, and it rots up above the flashing, so it becomes a leak point.
Yeah. Tree pruning is definitely a big source. You know, you get the bug problem if you got, you know, and of course they're scraping the shingles and scraping your siding. You know, tree pruning is also important too.
I clipped every tree around my house.
Did you really?
Clipped it to about 8 feet.
Well, what this is suggesting to me, and I know I have a tendency to see everything through kind of a marketing lens. If I'm in the window washing business, I want to know, or either be in the gutter business or know someone in the gutter business, I want to know the roofer. And now it just dawned on me, I want to know the landscaper type person that can come out and knows what they're doing is going to be reliable to do the tree. I mean, you guys should have like your own little mafia, right?
So right, and that's what we're looking, you know, to get into, you know. I mean, a lot of people, you know, they don't, you know, they're not going to get on their roofs and they're not going to check these things out. And,
right.
You know, that's where we
come
in.
For good reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
For very good reason.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to get on the roof. But it's not in this... In this economy, probably any economy, to be successful, I'm getting the idea that it's not enough to just be really good at what you do. You need to be the guy that knows the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's an important... Yeah, see what we're learning here, Alan?
It is.
Awesome.
Of course, you already knew all this stuff, right?
I know a little bit.
So how can our listeners get in touch with you, learn more about your services, contact you? You got a website riddled with YouTube like our other guy, or what?
Yes, you can reach us at 678-733-2363. That's the cell, and you can reach us also at our office number at 770-485-0903. And our website is www.gacrystalclear.citymaker.com.
All right. We're not going to get Blake's home number, though. You're not going to give us that, huh?
No.
I don't give that out to everybody.
Well, I tell you, what we like to do on every episode is we like to share with our listeners a homeowner tip related to your specific area of expertise. We've covered a lot, I know, but we'd like to leave them with something that they can hang their hat on. With respect to windows and window washing, what's a good, solid homeowner tip for all of us to keep in mind, you think?
I think the biggest thing is if you do entertain a lot, you know, obviously it's important for people to have clean windows and stuff like that. You know, check your seals and see, you know, if there's some entry for bugs and stuff like that, we'll clean them off. And also, you know, and the biggest thing about the, you know, gutter cleaning as well is, have you looked up at your gutters lately? You know, take a step outside, you know, next time it rains and see if they're overflowing. Usually means there's a clogged downspout, so, you know, stuff like that. You know, just take a look outside.
So if I hire you guys to come out and clean the windows for the Christmas crowd, will you take a look at my gutters?
Absolutely.
Of course.
And then we're gonna have that talk in the living room, aren't we, about the windows, I'm sure.
We're gonna have that talk, and we're also going to have Brian come in, and I'm going to probably tell you that you have more than about 10 to 15 cracked shingles, and it's about time to replace your roof. And I'm going to tell him about the boots, too, as well, and we'll take some pictures.
See, that's why you don't want to go to the doctor, right? You got your elbow hurts, and then by the time you walk out of there, you got to have surgery and everything else. No, but I think it's wise. Otherwise, you let these kinds of things go, and then it really does get expensive and even dangerous in some cases, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, this is fun stuff. This beats the heck out of working, doesn't it, Alan?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
I mean, I know you're around homes all the time, and, you know, you buying and selling and all that stuff. You're a big shot realtor broker, but this is all brand new to me. But did you learn anything today?
I always do. Every time I listen to a show.
Smart man.
Got some great stuff.
Yeah, fun stuff. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Alan Dobrinsky, Brian Kramer with Assure Exteriors, Blake and Dennis with GACC Window Cleaning Services, and everyone here at the Radio X family saying welcome home.
Thank you.